Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, and welcome to Indie Streak. I am Rachel Galvin, and as you know, I interview filmmaking professionals on this show. And you can go back and listen to any of my shows. They're all archived down below if you scroll down on this page. Well, today I'm interviewing William Griffay, who is well known for his double features and his B-movies like Impulse, Mako, The Jaws of Death, and Stanley. Those are just a few. He's had over 37 projects, and he's worked with a lot of actors that are now well-known, actors like William Shatner, Mickey Rooney, Don Johnson, Rita Hayworth, to name a few, and hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to him about some of the people that he has worked with. But what's well-known about Bill is that he has an ability to get things in on a shoestring budget. He really exemplifies the indie spirit, which is why I wanted to bring him on this show. Also, he is going to be having a seminar on the 31st, so he's going to be talking about that as well. But I think he's here, so let's go ahead and bring him in. Bill, are you there?
Yes, how are you doing, Rachel?
Hi. Good, yeah. How are you?
Terrific, terrific.
Great. Well, you know what? We're going to dive right in. Let's start with a little background, so those that aren't familiar with what you do, you could tell them a little bit about how you fell into being a filmmaker.
Well, you know, I wanted to be an actor at first, so I did summer stock up in Woodstock, New York, and Chatham on the Cape, and then I went into the military, and when I was in the service, I got married, and when I got out and started having kids, I said, boy, this acting is not too secure, so I started writing scripts, and I wrote about 10 screenplays, and I got the rejection slips to prove it. You know, so, but finally, I sold one called A Checkered Flag, which was a racing movie that we were doing up at Sebring, and they had me on the set as the writer for rewrites, and lo and behold, the first day of shooting, the director collapsed of a nervous breakdown. And in those days, there was no, you know, directors or no hardly any film people down here. So long story short, they drafted me in a motel room at 1 in the morning to direct the movie. So that's how I started directing. So anyway, I just fell into it some way.
Yeah, and you've gone through over 37 projects, I believe. What has kept you going all this time?
Well, I was very lucky on the second movie I did called Racing Fever, and that was a movie that I wrote, produced, and directed, which was the first film in the history of Florida ever to get a major release, and Allied Artists picked it up. And right then and there, I learned distribution, and so the two keys to a filmmaker is finance and distribution. So that's basically what's kept me going, you know, and over 25 feature films and lots of other projects.
And how did Allied kind of get on your radar? How did they discover you?
Well, you know, back in those days, all distribution was New York City. There was no distributors out in L.A. And so I went to New York, and, you know, it was during 35-millimeter cans, weighed like 80 pounds a piece. I was flipping around, showing them to various distributors, and Allied, I screened it for Allied, and the vice presidents liked it, but they weren't, you know, I found right then and there a vice president never makes a decision, because if it's a bad decision, his neck is on the chopping block. So long story short, I called the president up in Los Angeles at the studio, and I went out to L.A. To show him, and he made a decision immediately, and we picked it up for worldwide distribution.
Great. And you've worked with a lot of big stars throughout the years, stars that are well-known now, like William Shatner and Mickey Rooney. And I know Rita Hayworth, I think she was the first person like that you worked with, wasn't she?
I think she was the first... a big star that I ever worked with. And the I'd worked with Steve Alamo was pretty well known at the time. Steve was a sort of a bubblegum idol, a singer. He had his own show on CBS called Where the Action Was, which Dick Clark produced. And so Steve, and then I worked with Willie Pastrano, who was a light heavyweight champion. But as far as Hollywood, Rita was about the first one. Yeah.
And how did you get her for the Naked Zoo? How did you get her as a star? I know you had a little bit of an issue with her agent. Tell us about that.
Oh, boy, that was a real go-around. See, I had a budget of $250,000, which was my total budget, and the agent wanted $250,000 for Rita. And I said, how can I pay $250,000? I wouldn't have any money to make the movie, you know. So anyway, we fought for 3 days, and I couldn't get anywhere with him, so I called my investors and said, please, guys, you got to trust me. Wire me $50,000. So they wired me $50,000. I got a cashier's check, and I walked into the agent, and I said, you and I have been fighting for 3 days, but I kept telling you 50's all I can afford. So I plopped the $50,000 on his desk, and I said, there it is. I will put that in escrow in any bank in the state of California. End of conversation. He said, you got a deal. So there's an old saying, money talks and something walks. So if you got
right.
The money, you can make a deal,
So what would be your advice for people that are trying to get into film and dealing with agencies and Hollywood? How do you maneuver through all of that?
Well, I think they should really come to my seminar on March 31st, which I'm going to cover everything from, script to pre-production to breakdown to budgeting to production to actors to agents. And so after 25 feature films, I've pretty well been through the mill. And so, I could go on and on for hours, but I mean, why should I if I'm giving a seminar for anybody interested?
That's right. Since you brought it up, why don't you go ahead and tell us where that's going to be and how they find out about it?
Okay, they can go right on the internet, and Keylight Entertainment is sort of sponsoring it. And just type in William Griffay Seminar, and it's going to be up in Sunrise. And I don't have the exact address in front of me. I can run get it if you want. But
I'll let them know at the end. I'll clue them into that at the end of the show. So if anybody's listening, stay tuned because I will be giving the address at the end because I do have
right.
it. But yes, they should go to your seminar. But while I still have you on the line here, let's talk a little bit more about your background. What do you think was the film that you're the most proud of that you've done?
The next one.
Yeah?
The next one. No, I always say, there's... proud of, is a funny word because some films, I've made that have made very excellent box office and sales, And there's only one film I've ever made that it was a film I produced with Don Johnson. It was called Ceasefire. And that was about a Vietnamese veteran that was suffering stress and all of that. And so it was this is a heck of a statement, but it's the only film in history that got a private screening for the Library of Congress, for the U.S. Congress.
Wow.
And it was written up in the Congressional Record, and the critics, like Rex Reed, never says a good thing about anybody, and he raved about it. And then plus all the critical acclaim, the thing made a lot of money. So that's a good combination if the critics like it, But the other film, six of my films are on Netflix. If people subscribe to Netflix, they can pick them up. But One that made the most noise is one called Stanley, which was a suspense film I did with it was a suspense film where a guy used rattlesnakes as a murder weapon. And that did excellent theatrically and worldwide. I'm still getting emails from Japan, Germany, et cetera, et cetera. And it was released not only theatrically, but TV. It's had four VHS releases, and now it's in its fourth DVD release.
Wow.
So that's sort of an annuity situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
how did you work with the snakes? And also, you've done films with sharks. And how do you deal with all these creatures of the Everglades and the ocean? How do you deal with them?
Very carefully. Because, see, I couldn't afford, like Spielberg, when he did Jaws, he used a mechanical shark. You know, I couldn't afford a mechanical, so I had to use real sharks, you know. So we used 10, 12-foot tiger sharks, and there's a special way, which if you come to my seminar, anybody asks me a question, I'll tell you how you work with a 12-foot tiger shark, which is a pretty mean rascal, you know. But then I also tell them how you work with real rattlesnakes, you know.
What was the biggest challenge that you faced in all of your films?
Fighting to get the money for the next one.
Yeah, that's everybody, right?
You know, I mean, that's what I'm going to try and cover at the seminar, as you know. Right now, see, it's a utopian time for young filmmakers because of the way the film is when I started out, I mean, the cameras were heavy, everything was expensive film-wise, and slow editing. But now in the digital age, when everything is, computerized and the cameras are lightweight, so you can go out and make a film very reasonable today compared to when I started. So anyway,
you think things have changed for the better, huh? Definitely.
Well, I say to do a film today technically is a no-brainer. It's a really simple technical. Nothing has changed as far as working with actors and temperamental people and, trying to stay on schedule and fighting the rain and, schedules and budget and et cetera, you know. So that end of it has not changed a bit, but technically with the cameras and editing and all of that, it's a no-brainer.
Mm-hmm. And I know you've worked with a lot of people that are kind of legendary down here, including Ivan Tors. You managed his studio for a while. What was that like, and how were you involved in some of the projects he was doing?
Well, it was on the only major studio. Well, it was the biggest major studio on the East Coast of the United States. It was a studio that did Flipper and Joan Dem and so forth. And so when I was head of the studio, we did a lot of major projects for the major companies. Plus, did a series called Primus there, and it's a situation that. Today what is so wild is unless you're doing a TV series, you really don't need a studio unless you're doing a feature that has a lot of spaceships or built-in things, because everything is more or less lightweight and you can go to actual locations, So studios are not needed when in the old days when film was slow and equipment was heavy and so forth, and you build a set rather than flip it all out to location.
Now, did you teach Ivan some of your tricks with working with the animals, or was it vice versa, or was it really a collaborative, together?
Ivan was an expert with animals. I mean, he really knew how to handle animals, and since I was with him, and fortunately I met a fantastic animal trainer, a guy named Frank Weed, who was actually a wild man, and he's the one that handled all the, he handled, I did a little horror movie called Death Curse of Tartu. And
mm-hmm.
he handled the alligators and he handled the snakes and everything for me. And then he also did Stanley for me, you know. But then the shark thing, you know, he was an Everglades type guy. He wasn't oriented for the ocean and sharks. So I used some other great people there, like Jordan Klein, who was an underwater cameraman, and a fellow named Big John McLaughlin, who was a diver. And so these guys were really expert and helped me a great deal.
So were you able to take some of the work that you were doing there and take it into your own projects? Kind of what you learned from that?
How do you mean now?
Like some of the training and things that you learned from working with this group of guys, were you able to kind of get them to involved in your own personal projects too?
Oh yeah. Well, yeah. Those were the guys that worked with me, but I knew their reputation, you know, and so forth. And I was the action director. I did the underwater shark footage for the James Bond film, Live and Let Die. And so I learned a lot from that working over in Bimini. We always did our shark and underwater stuff in Bimini. And then that moved me on to Mako Jaws of Death, which was the...
Mm-hmm. And then suddenly Jaws came out shortly after that, right?
Yeah, well, what the deal was on that, this is wild. I wrote Mako Jaws of Death about 3 years before they ever did Jaws. And nobody would give me the money. And all of a sudden, Jaws come out. And here, Jaws was the biggest grossing film in recent history. And everybody that remembered my script would call me up, "Bill, old buddy, how the hell are you?" You know, and they were throwing money at me because they knew I could get it all out immediately. So I immediately got the money and started shooting. And we rode on Universal's publicity department. And when I finished shooting, I before I even edited the film, I edited a 7-minute promo reel. And we took it to Europe, and we beat Jaws out in Europe.
Really?
We had our money back out of just cash advances out of Europe before the film was even edited.
And, wow.
And so we beat Jaws out in Europe. And because at that time, I mean, anybody remembers that, I mean, everything was sharks, you know, Life magazine, Time magazine, publicity, everything, you know. So anyway, everybody said, "Oh, he stole it from Spielberg." Well, I think it might have been the reverse, because I developed that script a long time before they ever did Jaws. But it ended up that I thought we had a lot better shark footage because we used real ones rather than a big mechanical one.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Are there any projects that you're working on now or any recent projects?
Well, we're always working on something, you know, and I have two projects. One is called Maroon, which is a horror suspense film. There's a gentleman I'm working with called Jeff Friedman, who has really been a help to us. And he's trying to help get it produced, and hopefully... You know, if he gets it together, he'll be producing. I'll be directing the film, and then I have another one, which is called the Ice Morgue, which is another. You know, of all the 25 films I've made, for some reason, all the cult movie followers, they love my 6 or 7 horror movies, and so. Anyway, since I've got a big following in the cult market, I thought that's the best way to go, you know, rather than try and do something that I'm not, don't have the biggest following with, you know. So, anyway, incidentally, I did pick up where this seminar, you know, it's going to be March 31st at 9 a.m. at the Sunrise Civic Center, which is 10... 6610 West Oakland Park Boulevard, Sunrise, Florida. And hopefully anybody.
And it's $30, right?
Right, it's $30. And if you go to Vance and you can type in http://keylight.eventbrite.com/, and but anyway, just if you just want to can't remember that, just go to William Griffey Seminar, and I think you'll pop up. Anybody, I mean, if they're actors or crew members or students or anybody interested in film, and what I try and do is tell the facts of life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I've been to some of these seminars where they have the big Hollywood hotshots come in, and now they talk about making $100 million films and all of that, which, you know, could help some young filmmaker, like, forget about it. It's, you know, he's got to know how to get into what we call guerrilla filmmaking and pull the thing off with very little money, you know.
Yeah. Well, I think it will help a lot of people to go to your seminar and kind of see what you've done through the years and how you've pulled things together on a shoestring budget and made it happen. So I think people should definitely come out to it. Is there any other website, that a personal website that you want to give people so that they want to learn more about you?
My website, yeah, they can just, williamgriffey.com.
Okay. So you'll have all your projects up there and people can keep posted and see what you're up to.
Yeah. So any event, I hope you'll come as our guest.
Yeah, I hope so too. I hope I can make it out there. I was telling Jeff, I hope to make it out there as well. So they can see me. I hopefully will be there at some point during the day. But thanks for coming on the show, Bill, and good luck with the seminar, and I hope you get lots of people. And maybe we'll do another show later on when you get these other projects going.
Yeah, and also I mentioned, you know, some of these Sundays you should have my daughter Melanie on the show.
I'll talk to you off the show about that, definitely.
Yeah.
We'll get that going.
All right, beautiful. Okay, well,
all
thanks
right.
for having me on. And as they say in the business, break a leg.
Yeah, that's right, break a leg. That's absolutely right. Okay, thanks, Bill.
Right, bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. Okay, so we just talked to Bill Griffey, and he gave us a little insight into some of his many projects. And he has so many stories that are just fascinating about working in the business. I definitely recommend going to his seminar just for the stories alone, because it's really interesting the different ways that, you know, what you see on camera, what you see in the movie theater is so different from what happens actually in the scene, as you know, if you're a filmmaker. And the way that he was able to work some things on some of his projects was just fascinating. But it sounds like this seminar is going to go into much greater detail than one that I saw that FNPTA was holding, where he just gave a little bit of some of his stories. This one's going to be much more in-depth for the filmmaker specifically that wants to know how to make a film and how to get it in on a low budget, how to distribute it, et cetera, et cetera. So you definitely want to check that out. And I want to give that information once again for you. The seminar is on March 31st. It's from 9 a.m. until 6 p.m., so it's an all-day event. And I'm assuming that it's one of those things that you need to be there all day. I personally am probably going to be dropping in because I don't think I can be there all day. But I would suggest being there all day because that's probably what they want you to do in order to get the entire information. Otherwise, what's the point? The seminar is located at the Sunrise Civic Center. The address is 10610 West Oakland Park Boulevard, Sunrise, 33351. And if you go into Facebook, you can just type in Bill Griffey, G-R-E-F-E, and seminar, and it pops up. Okay, that's how I would recommend getting that, and that you may be able to Google it as well. But again, it's on the 31st from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., so it's an all-day event. Bring some lunch and enjoy. It should definitely be a great seminar, and you should get a lot of tidbits about the many projects he's done and how he's been able to get the attention of Hollywood for his projects, which is not easy to do, especially way out here in Florida at that time when, you know, nothing was going on out here. And the fact that he was able to kind of, one of the intrinsic pioneers that made the industry out here, I think that alone is worth listening to. Because when you can make a project, when you have nothing to work with, that's a true filmmaker to me. The mainstream people that have these big budgets and they've got every piece of equipment known to man, that's all well and good. And you could be artistic with that and creative and create a great film. But I think really the heroes of the industry are the indie filmmakers that do the guerrilla filmmaking and that they patch things together with duct tape and really that's the creative ones out there. And that's why I have this show. Not that I won't be bringing some Hollywood people on this show, because I probably will, because I think it's interesting to see the contrast between the indie filmmaker and the Hollywood system. Not that there's anything wrong with the Hollywood system, as Jerry Seinfeld says, not that there's anything wrong with that. But everybody has to start somewhere, and most people do start in the independent realm. They don't go straight into Hollywood. So if you're interested as a filmmaker in really making the independent scene work for you, then I would definitely go to his seminar and check it out. That's my little plug for that. But I appreciate you guys listening in today. I know he didn't want to get into too many stories because he wants to save it for the seminar. Unfortunately, I was hoping to get more stories out of him today, but that just didn't happen. That means you have to go to the seminar, evidently, right, to get the stories. But like I said, thank you for tuning in today. But if you have missed any of my other shows, you want to go back and listen to them. We mentioned Ivan Tors in the show. Well, I interviewed Scott Cardinal, who directed a documentary all about Ivan Tors, and Bill Griffey is actually in the documentary. So you might want to go back and listen to that show. It was one of my very first shows with Scott Cardinal, and that was interesting, all about Ivan Tors, who also was a pioneer here in Florida. And we talked about his Ivan Tors studio that was happening here and how they made Flipper and Gentle Ben and all these projects that dealt with animals. I think it's really interesting that many of the original projects done here have to do with animals, because this is the wild, not really the Wild West, but the Wild East with the crazy jungles out here in Florida. At least that's how they saw it back then. It really was no man's land here in Florida at the time. So those that came out here were like Indiana Jones exploring the jungles out here in Florida. So it makes for very interesting stories. Anyway, folks, I thank you once again for tuning in, and I will be back next Sunday at 1 p.m. You never know who I will be interviewing next, so please tune in then and find out, and then you can go to blogtalkradio.com/indiestreak to find out what my upcoming show is, and I will be promoting it as well. Thanks, guys, for listening in, and I will talk to you then. Same bat channel, same bat time. All right. Bye, guys.